Hello, I'm Mariet Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to wellness professionals ready to assist with sincerity and care. Today's topic is how to integrate movement into your everyday life pleasurably. My guest is Dr. Francois du Toit, naturopathic doctor, wellness and spiritual coach, and massage therapist from Kleinkrantz near Wilderness. Welcome back to the show, Francois.
Mariette, it's a pleasure. It's wonderful to speak with you again.
Thank you. And to our listeners, it's good of you to join us. Towards the end of our conversation, Francois will give parents advice on getting their kids to move in ways they enjoy. And then it will be fun question time. Francois, please tell us more about the work you do.
One of the things that I find has been the most exciting on this journey of health and well-being has been most profound in my personal life, and those health gains and health transformations. I've been very blessed and very graceful to have received unmerited favor, has been to see that when I work for the body as a massage therapist, most of the doors open up for health and well-being. And the thing we see most of the time is things are stuck in the human body, in the way the fascia, the muscles, the ligaments, all the way down to the cells even get blockages in energy supply, energy flow, because of trauma, because of lack of nutrition, because of stress, because of toxins, whichever variety of things we see in this, in the wellness bubble. There's about 7 areas of well-being that's very important to recognize. That is the holistic lens. And when we work with the human body, we can see that the expression of health comes with joy and playfulness and creativity. And these are some of the things I believe we'll be touching on. You can lead me into the next area.
Yes, yes, that's beautifully said. I was going to ask about those 7 areas because you've published a very informative series on YouTube called The 7 Pillars of Health. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes, the 7 Pillars of Health or well-being has been more well popularized by the International Mind Valley Association, which is an online course with a big focus on wellness and spirituality and nutrition. And many of the things in there actually relate to the fitness and the importance of physical strength, especially if you think about what your body's capable of doing that propels into a meaningful and a surprising and purposeful life, relies on the fitness level, the strength of the body. So they've got fitness programs called 10X. And many of these presenters mentioned the 7 pillars as this foundational tool, and people can always just look into do you mind if I mention my personal resource?
Yes, I think you should.
Most ideally, the first 7 episodes of my podcast, they all delve into the 7 pillars, 1 to 7. And that was the intention of how I started the podcast series. It was that I wanted to publish the 7 episodes in my own way, in the most holistic way that I could imagine I've seen in my own experience, to convey that as a gift to others. So those are the 7, and they can just look them up and find out which area they want to delve into. Today we're talking about the area of movement. It's one of the pillars. Frequent movement is the specific pillar.
That's right. Could you just, as background, tell our listeners what the other 6 pillars of health are?
Ooh, from the top of my head, that is funny.
Yes.
So it's definitely the frequent movement, inner stillness. It's also deep and meaningful sleep, nutrient-dense foods. It relates to, I've put in gut health.
Yes.
My own version. I've honestly felt the gut health pillar is essential. So that's specific to what I've wanted to mention. And I add to that, that's not part of the original 7. And then also relating to life vision and purpose, and also deep and meaningful relationships or connections. Those are the 7.
Yes, that's right. We've got all of them.
Yeah.
As you said, today, we're shining the spotlight on the 7th pillar, namely movement. And I'd like you to start with your own story. I loved the title. from Jim Hayter to Iron Man.
Yes, very much. That's I was very fortunate growing up in a family where exercise and fitness was the norm. So I grew up in a very like we were forced to go to the gym 5 days a week type of thing. And I really honestly didn't like a lot of it, but I grew to enjoy fitness and moving my body, and I'm exceptionally grateful to it. And later on decided to explore movement in a way that I found enjoyable to myself, because in my personal life, mostly if I don't enjoy the movement, if I don't enjoy the exercise, if I'm not passionate about the sport or the nature experience, you know, it doesn't excite me enough. I just don't do it as much. So I've decided to reframe what I love doing and see what sport fits that. And that journey took me to triathlons, specifically half Ironman, which I'm very grateful to have completed two half Ironmans in the span of 3 years. The moment I'm quite happy to leave it at that and continue with other sports and just holistic fitness, which I'm talk about more when I'm adding in terms of movement fitness now. It's been a big journey of the last 6 or 7 months since I did the half Ironman November last year. So thankful and grateful to enjoy movement for what it is in creative and fun ways.
Yes. And why did you choose the triathlon?
At that season in my life, I really wanted a challenge that I felt would push the boundaries and explore different sports. My main frustration with anything that's relating to sports specifically is I don't want to get bored. So I'm craving that excitement, and it helped me to stretch my borders in so many different areas so I could continue to be excited by doing the sport, because excitement is the fuel of life. Excitement is a super, super key to optimizing any area that you want to choose or to going into. And I found that excitement that propelled me to thankfully finish both of those two half Ironman races, both of them being miraculous to the extreme because of the lack of resources I had to actually compete in those races without a triathlon background. And with no injuries, no flat tires, obstacles like losing my goggles almost happened in one of the races for sure. I'm grateful to have finished those races, honestly, and I'm very grateful for that experience and the fitness it gave me. And I'm working on balance, because so many people that I've treated over the last 3 years when I was in the triathlon sphere had injuries relating to overtraining and lack of preparation and lack of timing, like giving yourself 3 months to do the whole Ironman, which is possible, but you injure yourself more easily, 6 months to a year is minimum. So all these things, yeah, people need to look at what they enjoy doing and just be careful about balancing things so they don't injure themselves.
Mm. Francois, on a different topic, could you give us a historical perspective on natural movement?
From a personal experiential view, I can mention. From a scientific perspective, I think I would reference a different mentor or scientist to specifically go into this. There's a fantastic individual, and I believe the School of Movement would have been inspired by Wim Hof. Not necessarily as a practitioner, but a lot of the Wim Hof movement styles is based on something we call primal movements. Now, primal movements are rooted historically as far back as we can think about how humans have moved their bodies to survive. And we think about an environment where everything was as low on the ground as you can possibly imagine, because there wasn't tables and chairs. Mm-hmm. So the human body was in the squatted position most of the time. Now we come back and say, wow, most of the diseases we find in the body is caused by sitting so much in a chair or not moving in general. And if we are in a stationary squatted position, what they call the resting squat, which actually feels similar to be in a seat, you know, but you're just squatting, stretches out the entire body, relaxes the lower back, strengthens all these important glutes and core muscles, which is essential for good core posture. And it aligns with almost everything that is optimal for the human body. And so we look at these primal movement patterns, and then it flows from there. What can I do from the lowest on the ground to move me from one place to another? That's called primal flow. It's a form of movement exercise experience with a wonderful practitioner from Neisner. I'd love to reference him in the show notes. Because primal flow is a therapy that I'm not specialized in. I'd refer clients away for it. Mm-hmm. Play therapy, though, is something that we are touching on. Mm. And that is something that I'm very passionate on from my personal experience and the example that has been laid out by individuals like Wim Hof, who in his early days took children out on expeditions to teach them how to climb trees. it's a lost art, a lost skill these days to climb a tree, it seems. And kids, all of them need to be outside climbing on boulders and rocks and climbing the trees, because otherwise they don't learn the primal movement patterns. Getting stuck in a confined space, as fortunately urban or city life has done to us. But many people are breaking away from, looking for different means of living in a communal setting, a setting where there is a communal farmland or space for the children to be and roam and play in a safe way.
Yeah, and then of course as adults as well. I mean, I remember climbing trees as a child. I'm old enough to have been very lucky, you know, to have had to climb trees, because sometimes
they had those experiences. Yes,
because sometimes there was nothing else really that would be as interesting as climbing trees.
I would guesstimate that you had less TV or access to things to distract. So it's like you're busy in the house, get out, do something. Because there wasn't something else.
Exactly.
We have more distractions now, probably. I'm just guesstimating.
No, you're quite right, Francois. Now I'd like us to look at the benefits of natural movement. And my first question is, how does natural movement benefit our gut?
Natural movement is relating to how we find ourselves finding a frequent movement in as a daily part of our lives. And to achieve that, we need to reframe the way we live our lives, because our lifestyle is oftentimes limited in how much we are expanding the arms and the legs and pumping the body. And like we mentioned, having the opportunity and creating the opportunity for kids to climb trees and climb boulders and go to the beach and thrive in a more wide area, a bigger area where they can really use their bodies and express their bodies. And do this in a sustainable way, you have to make it fun. Otherwise, it gets boring. So that's how sports actually are in many ways created by us, by humanity, is because it's fun and it's creative and it's expanding and it's everything that we find excitement in doing, and that's what we thrive on.
And how specifically does it benefit our gut when we do more of this type of natural movement?
When we do these natural movement patterns, everything moves in the body, including the lymphatic system. So many diseases stem from the fact that we have very toxic bodies and lymphatic systems that are not pumping the toxins out of the body. And the lymphatic system does not have a muscular system or to pump lymph, meaning it's not like the heart as a muscle that pumps the blood through the body. The lymph does not have that. The lymph needs the gravitational forces of a physical body moving, and the muscles that are contracting around the lymph pump the lymphatic system to excrete toxins. And when we're not moving much, those lymphatic system gets stuck and we get stiff and hard. In the energetic sense, in the Chinese medicine sense, the body is becoming stagnant and is becoming also qi deficient, not because of lack of qi, because of lack of movement leads to qi deficiency, not qi energy, relating to more efficient energy production in every cell in the body, because we are not moving much. And when we move the body and qi flows, energy flows, the body and the joints, the movements of the body feel like liquid honey. This is what the Qi masters and the Buddhist masters always practiced and understood. And so many of them, the Buddhist warriors, are such phenomenal warriors. And the feats that their bodies are capable of doing is superhuman, beyond belief. If you ever look into YouTube or YouTube shorts specifically, you'll see that the way they've trained their bodies. And those individuals, the sages, the monks themselves, would say, the movement is like liquid honey, because I've optimized my body and my flow to always have the most energy, and I'm youthful and young. And they're, you know, sprightly and energetic up until 90, 100 years old or much older, because they're just, it's part of their patterns of movement every single day. They're doing styles of movement that we could relate to maybe styles of primal flow movements, squatting, and maybe even styles of Pilates in some senses, much closer to yoga and many other ways, and specifically relating to Qigong practices. And all of this is to whatever way the individual chooses, is to express their body, move every single day, enjoy doing it. For myself personally, I enjoy dancing. So I found that if I have music, I would enjoy exercising more with music. If I once in one body and outdoors in a primal flow pattern, I put music on and it helps me to be able to express my body more freely and enjoy doing it at the same time. So it's really about finding your own flow and creativity more than anything we're specifically discussing. That's what the ideal for everyone's takeaway would be.
Yes, yes. I just have a couple of more questions about the benefits of natural movement. And I was wondering, could you say something about sleep health and mental health and how they relate to natural movement?
Definitely. So one of the most crucial pillars in a balanced holistic lifestyle is to have a balanced day and night pattern. Meaning when the sun is up, we have a bowel movement or a couple of bowel movements during the day when the sun is up. And when the sun goes down, the body goes to sleep and we have a deep and restful sleep. Because we have so many artificial lights, UV light, LED lights, white light, we call this blue light as well as toxic light. Toxic light is an epidemic across the globe. It's really a big issue. I'd love more, almost want to say, change advocates for policy in the country all around the world to remove these false toxic electric lighting, because it damages the body in the way it tends to confuse the circadian rhythm, which is the powerhouse of the body. So you're groggy and moody and low energy during the day because your toxic lighting didn't allow you to sleep optimally at night. It's affecting plant life and animal life all around the cities as well. The plants are not growing and thriving. The animals are not growing and thriving. There's less fertility in the animals in the areas surrounding the cities for many very reasons, but including the lighting and the electromagnetic fields. So when we're looking at natural primal movements, a lot of this is actually getting outdoors, because when we're outdoors barefoot, we are grounded and we release and discharge those electromagnetic fields, and we release and discharge any negative and electromagnetic kind of thought patterns, even in the mind, which is also stored in the body called cellular memory. It also releases through the grounding effect of the balancing energies of the electromagnetic field of the earth, recharging the body, and the body is also releasing and discharging all of those negative frequencies into the earth, which it's almost like charging a battery. And I love this relating from a chemical engineer. If you're going to swim in the ocean, it's the same as going swimming in an amazing electromagnetic mineral bath, which is like, well, relating it to battery water is one way, but it's mineralizing liquid that absorbs through the skin. One of the fastest ways to mineralize the body is through the skin, especially magnesium. So magnesium salt baths is beautiful, but also swimming in the ocean absorb all those minerals and you recharge through this grounding effect, which is always present in the ocean. So yeah, so we want to be outdoors, and this benefits this whole balance of energy flow and joy. And when you have this abundant flow of energy, you'll have abundance of passion and joy, because whatever you feel as energy will also come up as good vibes, good energy in the gut, which produces more neurotransmitters, the feel-good hormones, which leads to passion and joy, love, creativity. If you think about specific hormones, we're talking about things like oxytocin, the bonding and love hormone, very powerful, including also many of the precursors to the feel-good hormones. And we're looking at ways of balancing that energy of the gut with daily habits, movement, hydration, water, with minerals. And there's a lot that will flow optimally in this energy pattern for the whole body and the gut then.
Thank you. I was wondering about exercise. What is your view on exercise? Because it seems to me that some people can get addicted to it, but others really don't like it.
I would say a great starting point is to think about, I'm learning this directly from a quote from a movie called The Matrix, which I highly recommend every single human being watches. And in this line, Neo walks in to see the Oracle for the first time, and the Oracle points to a Latin mural on the wall, and she asks, like, Neo, do you know what that means? And he says, no. And she says, that's Latin. It means know thyself. The best place to start in almost any area in life, doesn't matter what the question is, including exercises, first know yourself. What is your energy? What is your temperament? Enneagram profile is very powerful for individuals to know themselves better. A Myers-Briggs profile online test, these are both free tests. Enneagram and Myers-Briggs is free online. To understand individual better and their characteristic traits and their strengths and their weaknesses. And depending on that understanding of yourself, and even understanding yourself through the lens of the TCM model, the traditional Chinese medicine model of fire and water and earth and metal, all balancing out the body. What exercise would you like to do the most at this moment? After a furiously stressful day, you're on fire. Would you like to do more fire exercise, like going to the gym and pumping it with hard music? You can. It's important. Strength exercise is good. But fire on top of fire is more fire. That's inflammation. If we would balance the stressful fire day with a yin activity, which is a water activity, a cool, calming activity, like swimming, calm swimming in the ocean, calm swimming in the laps in the swimming pool, going for a stretching class, going for a Pilates class, those are all yin activities. You're balancing out the stress of the day and the fire of the day with a water activity, and then you find balance too. So you can understand yourself in so many ways, which will optimize. What exercise should I do? What do I enjoy doing? And you can also pick a recipe. You can pull an exercise or routine apart and put it back together in whichever way works for you, like a secret sauce. And you need to experiment to find out what you enjoy doing and gets the best results for you. And never get scared to be creative and experiment. You've got nothing to lose. You're not competing against anyone else. You're doing this for yourself, I hope, which is the purpose. And so many people don't understand the value. I myself didn't understand the value of the self until more recently delving into this topic. And when we have that self-care focus, it will be sustainable and good for us in the long run and everyone around us.
Note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za. And it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can share childhood memories with your children or grandchildren, record a bird's eye view of your career or business, or speak about an unforgettable trip. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Francois, if someone wants to integrate natural movement, something that they really enjoy, into their everyday lives and they have no idea where to start, what would you advise them?
I would say access. If they are in an area like a city area, maybe without access to outdoor spaces, a gym membership or environments or an outdoor gym environment, even better, like the jungle gyms that are being built for children primarily, but us adults actually need it much more. We need those jungle gyms. We actually need to find whatever's available. And if it's gym and jungle gyms and outdoor gym equipment spaces, which is becoming more popular, thankfully, in some city areas, we need to go out and use them. Otherwise, if you have outdoor spaces, it's important to be outside in natural sunlight as much as possible. Ideally, when you wake up the first thing in the morning, in the first 5 or 10 minutes, hopefully close to sunrise, ideally that's a good time to get up, or close to. If you wake up an hour or two earlier, that's very useful. Many people do that, myself included. And then you want to rise with the sun, and you want to spend time outdoors barefoot with the sun, and also look up into the sky, because the more of the natural sunlight, we're talking about all that toxic blue light, toxic lighting sources, that's many of those negative effects. And the real energy we want is balanced by actually spending the time outdoors and looking up into the natural sunlight. We can also look into the direction of the sunrise itself. It doesn't damage the eye like sometimes it was. It's a hoax that was spread around. But they are, yes, every single person, if they overdo anything, obviously there can be damage. So it's not like, oh, I can stay at the sun 8 hours and it's going to be fine. If you build it up slowly, but over time, there's amazing individuals that do sun gazing and they do exceptional things that is part of a different field. I find experimenting and looking to the sun in the morning and the sunset is perfectly healthy and optimizes longevity and vitality. And then your sleep pattern will be optimal by itself, because you've had enough natural sunlight in the day. Hopefully, you would think about removing all the toxic lights, start putting on candles or salt lamps with a natural old school lighting coil store inside, actually. And those lighting sources are safe and natural, and we need them. We really need them again, and more supplies of them. And that will help for optimal sleep. Yeah.
Would you say that setting goals only applies to exercise, in air commas, or should one also set goals when you integrate natural movement in your life?
It's important to reflect that the whole goal setting methodology has taken us very far as humankind, but it's been reframed and understood as being having many limitations that make people really unhappy in life. And an example would be to say we have completed all the goals for a career, making money and all of that, and then we're miserable with money and a mansion and a Lamborghini because we didn't think about experiences that we want to have in life that makes us happy and make us fulfilled. So I've reframed this as far as possible, replace at least the thinking of goal setting with experience setting. Mm-hmm. What are the experiences that I want to have in my life? What propels me forward? Do I want to be married in 5 years and live in my own house with my own garage and my own car and whatever it might be? And another person, their goal might be, I'd love to be able to run my first half marathon in a year's time. And for them, that's a peak experience, a peak goal, if they can do that in 1 year's time. And all of these things propels individuals forward in their lives. And the excitement is also the key principle or factor there that propels it naturally forward all the time with enjoyment involved. And all of that aids in this journey to be able to have peak experiences, have much more profitable, almost like goal setting practices or habits, because goals work. Goal setting works. It helps to have a goal list. But if you see it through the lens of experiences, more importantly, that propel us forward, that moves the needles in our lives, if I have to quote Dean Graziosi directly, if we have more needle moving experiential goals that are fun and exciting, we won't fall in the trap of becoming disillusioned with movement or exercise. So yes, sense an experience you want with primal movement. Maybe swimming would be an exciting goal, to be able to do a longer distance swimming event, open water swimming event in the ocean. These are things you can start exercising for with a swimming pool, and then whatever access you have, maybe to a dam or then the ocean. It starts becoming part of a goal list, like I need to exercise 3 times a week to be able to swim a 10-kilometer open water distance if you want to compete in an event like that in 3 months or 6 months' time. And then it all falls into place. It's the one seamlessly fits into the other, basically.
And I suppose when one is getting older and is becoming less flexible, maybe a goal or an experience that you wanted to have would look different. For instance, I have had a knee operation and I'm working on strengthening those muscles because I want to do Nordic walking. Do you think that would also be a good experiential goal.
Oh, for sure. And it's amazing that if you can be molded to anyone's experience and life experience, Bob, because it's about having an authentic human experience. The most fascinating thing is this is the biggest, I think, gift that I received listening to, thankfully, online social media reels, Instagram reels specifically. And the research is so profound to show that the highest energy frequency that exists, that the human body can also admit that the highest frequency we can actually measure with technology that measures electromagnetic fields, was always thought to be love, which is one of the highest frequencies that exist in the universe. But then they discovered that the frequency of authenticity is 4,000 times higher than the frequency of love.
Ooh.
So when we are unique and authentic and ourselves, the energetic flow and capacity of what we can do is limitless. So when we explore, you mentioned Nordic walking. Mm. All of these beautiful experiences, one of the fits into the other. What sort of walking can I do? I personally have had such troubles with my knees with the triathlons. Two crucial points made me really think, honestly, I won't be able to finish or compete in this race with my knee challenges. And I found out by grace an online video how to do deep squats, which is also a form of exercise popularized by the knees over toes guy, which I only learned later. By doing these squats, talked about the resting squat in the beginning of our discussion. When I started learning to squat more and squat in certain ways that really supports my core and my glute muscles, my knees became stronger and stronger and stronger, and I could complete the half Ironman race, at least the first one, with no knee pain at all, none. And I really thought 1 month before that, it'd be impossible for me to finish that race because it's a swim, cycle, run, and running was supposed to be my strong feet. But after that distance of swimming and then the cycling and the 21-kilometer race at the end, I thought it's impossible for my knee to do that. Mm. I had no pain after that first race. And that 1 month of deep knee squatting really saved me, I believe. And I also combined mineral water because when you drink mineralized water, it also lubricates the joints. And we need water with 84 to 96 trace minerals. And you need to make sure it's actually in there. Most water doesn't have all those trace minerals in there. And if we drink them in a way like with living water is when water flows, like river water or spring water. When it flows or moves, it's living water. And with the minerals combined, it absorbs the best and it lubricates the joints. And it's the stuff of life. We need those base minerals to help the body to thrive.
Thank you. I have one final question. If a parent is listening and they feel that their child just likes to sit indoors and, you know, often with a screen in front of them, what would you say to them to help?
The discipline comes down to the parent having to find solutions because we have a challenge in our modern day living where the technology is an important distraction for the children so the parents can have their own time, their own me or self time.
Mm.
It's a challenging trade-off, which is unique to every individual parent and the environment that they live in. The more important thing is to recreate the culture that you live in slowly and surely to the degree and level that is possible for you to do, meaning you have capacity to do, and you're changing it slowly but surely. It's called the culturescape. It's also popularized by the Mind Valley community. The culturescape means the environment that you grew up in. And if you follow all the rules, you'll never become an authentic individual. And if you follow all the cultural rules specifically is what I mean. And when you branch out and find your own tribe, your own passions, your own heart-centric views, and passions and causes that you want to live for and drives you forward in life, you will find that you eventually find a community, for example, in this space that will allow the children to move. There's amazing schools now, outdoor, I want to say urban schools, primal movement schools for children. It's part of the curriculum, at least in this area in wilderness, in the Western Cape area. These schools are branching out all more and growing more and more. Beautiful communities, communal living communities as well, where their children have space and they can play and supervision and play with each other as well in bigger groups. So, yeah. It's about finding those communities, creating those spaces, changing our lifestyles and our cultural scape or culture scape to accommodate the health we want for ourselves and for our children. And whatever steps you can take, you know, one step at a time, it's not even a baby step. I think, an outdated saying. Every step you take is a success because you've moved forward. Who you're comparing yourself to, it's very much your personal success every step of the way.
Thank you, Francois. Where can listeners learn more about your work or follow you? I would like to point out your YouTube channel as well, so please include that.
Thank you very much, Mariette. The easiest way for people to find me is to Google Dr. Francois de Tooy, naturopath, and they'll come across my website, www.drfrancois.com. And they'll also find my Facebook and Instagram handle of similar names, just including acupuncture and massage clinic with the Google search. And thank you for mentioning my YouTube channel. I'm so passionate to see more health-related content, especially for gut and mental health on YouTube, which has already been published out for the public. A lot of content in Afrikaans coming out as well, which I'm very grateful to say you've helped me publish into the world because of your great support and belief in me, opening up so many doors and opportunities for me. And I can only say I'm ever grateful to you and for your kindness.
Thank you, Francois. But that was not out of kindness. That's just simply a win-win solution.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for that. And it's amazing when we reframe everything we do in life. If everything can be a win-win situation, everything flows in an optimal way. And that's also one of those kind of like formulas or keys when you look at excitement. It's oftentimes when every human being benefits. And having a mantra or saying like, you know, my actions are for the good of everyone, for the highest good of everyone and myself. It changes everything to be a win-win situation.
It does. That's beautifully said. And to our listeners, just a note that I will attach links to Francois's website and his YouTube channel. I will attach those links to the podcast, and then in the podcast notes, you will find all the other links. Then, Francois, may I ask you a fun question?
Yes.
Okay. Having spoken of movement, I was wondering, if you were a muscle in the human body, which one would you like to be?
Holy smokes. That is one of the most tricky questions for muscle therapists to be asked. I would say, for now, just at this moment, but this will change from season to season, I would say the knee. The patella specifically, the kneecap. So a lot of the things we're talking about, when you talk about, for example, changing policy, having to have this strength and boldness to change the ways people view lighting and all of this exposure and habits, we think about the strength of that knee, having to kind of like stand up against courageously against the things that are going on in the world out there. And so that's what I would say. I would say the strong knee for today.
You certainly rise to that challenge. So thank you, Francois, for all the information. And I always learn something new from you, and for pointing out the very important benefits of natural movement. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneyman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneyman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneyman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.